Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad that you could tune in this morning and join us. If you are possibly not aware of His Way Out Ministries, it was approximately 23 years ago that God the Father saw fit to birth His ministry called His Way Out. We offer a variety of ministry services, including biblical discipleship, a variety of care groups, workshops, seminars, and a wealth of information in terms of educational resources. Because from the very beginning, as it remains today, His Way Out Ministries seeks to minister to those in the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the dialogue of issues, and the sharing of testimony. For the last several broadcasts, I've had joining me a variety of guests, and I'm very pleased this morning to share with you that my special guest and ministry partner of many years is Pastor Tim Maddox, Senior Pastor of Northside Community Church here in Bakersfield. Good morning, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here, Philip.
Let's begin with revisiting, actually, that you and I did meet many, many years ago. And if memory serves me correctly, you and I met because at that time you were meeting quite a few men and women that were struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, as well as you had actually members of your own congregation that were struggling with this very same topic. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It's was in the middle of a very, I'd say, kind of intense awakening to where that issue set with the families and how they were dealing with it, or actually, it might be better to say how they were not dealing with it and that struggle.
I see. Well, again, because we've known each other for so many years, and when you and I first met, the whole subject matter of homosexuality, it was a very, very different setting then as opposed to today. Obviously, things have changed greatly and not entirely for the better. What would you say, Pastor Tim? How do you think we've got to where we have arrived today, where it seems that more people in the world and even within the church are just more accepting of homosexual practice?
Great question. Well, I don't know. I certainly don't think I have a definitive answer. I can speak from my view and as in a local church. I do think our culture has moved in that direction, and because culture is not, as a general rule of thumb, is not godly. It's actually it's structured unbelief, I believe, but that the culture moved and some of the church moved with it in regard to beliefs and attitudes. And so, yeah, I think from the time we met till now, it's distinctly different. It's not 20 years. It's at least 15, though.
Yes.
And, yeah, the pressure and the values of culture have moved. And we feel that pressure in the church. And the church has been pressured. And, of course, some church bodies have capitulated to that belief, some church body. So we know that that's occurred since we first met. That's in between, yes. When we first met. So that wasn't going on when we first met.
It does seem where we've arrived today that the affirmation of truth is being set aside to affirm our present culture, which again seems to be more and more accepting mm-hmm. of homosexual practice. But as ministers, as really Christians dedicated to the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ, I have yet to find even one scripture in God's Word that validates, encourages, or endorses homosexual practice. Have you ever found one to validate that?
No, I would actually even reverse that even further. I'd say, no, not only have I not found something that validates it, I've actually discovered some of the scriptures that were dismissed by some interpreters were in fact clearly actually teaching that, even some of the Old Testament scriptures. So it's kind of been a reverse for me. So I think we gave so much turf was given up that it became narrowed down to a few biblical passages, which is not really true. It actually has a long history, and a lot of, Old Testament passages are valid,
yes.
and did teach morality. And so, I guess I would say it was a reverse, but a lot of that turf has been given up, that's for sure,
absolutely.
In certain circles.
There also seems to be in the church today a growing silence on this topic, which personally I don't understand. I have shared several times recently that 31 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ, entered church for the first time, had it not been for very dedicated Christian men and women, dedicated to the whole Word of God, that held me to that standard.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly can say, Jim, I don't know if they had not held me to that standard. And you know what? Sometimes it was really, really difficult to hear. Some of it was difficult to swallow. But had they not, which I am so grateful for to this day, I don't know that you and I would be sitting here having this conversation.
I hear you on that, and I think you're right. I'm sorry I'm going to quote Luther, but he said, when you actually preach the Gospels, the demons get let loose. So, that things get sketchy when it's the clear Gospel and the demands of it, of discipleship and being a follower of Christ and all that means, comes to weigh on a person that's pretty heavy. And I, I think that was critical for you, and it still is for others. I will say, as a pastor, I think from a pastoral perspective where you're just, local church, just doing the things of ministry, of care and preaching and teaching and leading and discipling congregations from babies to 80-year-olds. When you're in the trenches like that, I think for a lot of us, perhaps... We have a full plate of conflict or potential conflict, so we're not trying to dig up any more. So sometimes from a local church perspective, maybe a pastor perspective, like I've got this situation that's pretty hot over here, so I'm not wanting to pick any fights.
I
think maybe some of that is just that, not really like there that people or ministers, so many of us, or have acquiesced and given in and say, yeah, it's okay, or changed our views, but maybe just very careful when we do it. So because of the pressure of the culture, because it appears that we're on the defense.
Yes.
We were on the offense, and we are on the defense, and so we're trying to stand our ground, I think, as Ephesians 6 tells us.
And that's a very important word you bring to the conversation, defense, because it really does seem to me today, more than anything else, that as Christians, and let's pause right there and consider, when you and I say that we are a Christian, mm-hmm. the depth of that statement, and more specifically, the depth of that identity, mm-hmm. when we say we're a Christian... We're saying, or we should be saying, that we are literally followers of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and all his teachings, Therefore, we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. Right. We don't get to pick and choose certain scriptures and discard the rest. And my concern is that when the truth is withheld on this subject, is that really loving? Is that really, really caring about the person? And I have to challenge that.
Yeah, I guess it's almost like a parenting issue when you know your kid is doing something wrong, and do you love them enough? Do you care about their soul enough to confront them, or do you care more about their acceptance of you? You care higher for what, it's a sort of a people-pleasing thing, quite frankly.
Yes.
And so I think it's easy to slip into that. And I think it's easy to slip into that pastoral work. I think we can find ourselves, because we interact with so many people. It's so deep. You know, we're running, 100 deep in relationships, you know. And so I think pastors just get, on the defense and just trying to manage the things they have and are avoiding conflictual subjects without a good plan. Having a good plan in place, and you have been the plan for many of us, quite frankly.
Well, again, with regards to defense, yeah. It seems to me where we've arrived today is that we never want to beat someone over the head with God's word. That doesn't work. It never has and never will.
Yeah.
But it does seem today that with regard to the whole subject matter of homosexuality, which I believe really have moved so far away from that. That is no longer the real issue. It seems to me that as dedicated, faithful followers of Christ, really what we are doing today is defending God's character and the truth and the authority of his word. That's how I see the real crisis today.
That is probably true, that we have struck such a defensive posture. And even in regard to other religions, which is part of that whole cultural package, that the pressure that we're feeling, all religions are the same. All moral behavior is, it's okay. And I think that is, and I don't know if that's very American, but that is very humanistic at best. It's humanism. Rampant.
Yes.
So, I think we are. I think we are on the defensive posture, and that probably hurts us really bad at times. I think you're right.
Well, let's return to Scripture for a second, because, again, my study of both the Old and the New Testament, and there are various scriptures. There are actually several. Mm-hmm. That state very clearly that homosexual practice, not the struggle, the practice thereof, in God's eyes, as our young people say today, don't go there. It's not just homosexual practice. There are many other behaviors that God says that we are not to practice. And I believe he's clear, because he's really trying to protect us from unseen danger. Right. But once again, as we look at the authority of Scripture, one would think, if God has been clear in his word just with one scripture, he says, don't practice that behavior or that behavior, that should be enough. But within God's word, there are many scriptures that state clearly homosexual practice in God's eyes is not acceptable. You would think, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Case closed. That would be the end of discussion. But that's not where we are today.
No. And I do believe that's why the popularity of some of those interpreters like Boswell and others that have had to go after the scriptures and deconstruct it for us so it could open the door. It'll open the gate for certain behavior. And certainly there's a pretty good army of them out there now that are doing that.
Yes, there are. And you and I both know there are pro-gay theologians. There are pro-gay apologists. Where I challenge pro-gay theologians and apologists is that they speculate and theorize on what Scripture does not say. Well, I have a suggestion. Why don't we focus on what Scripture clearly has stated?
Yeah. Yep. That is. And you don't clear up things in Scripture by using a vague Scripture. You clear up things in Scripture by using clear, other clear Scripture. So the Bible interprets itself in a sense.
Exactly.
And what's really clear, you don't build on what you're not sure of. You build on the clarity of something, and then that's the foundation. So,
yes.
And I think the clarity would be the Genesis account of creation. There's the clarity. There's the natural order. I think our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, their comment was simply disorder. You know, that was their reference to that, just disordered. And that's not bad or unnatural or those kind of terms. But I do think that's the, I think that's the offensive posture is the preaching of marriage. I have tried to address that on a steady basis because marriages are in trouble too, quite frankly, Philip. And they're, you know, with our no-fault divorce since the 60s in California, you can get unmarried very quickly.
Yes.
And so that's a tough, tough issue.
And let's consider Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, God had a divine intent mm-hmm. for human sexuality. And what we see in those chapters very clearly, after God created man and decided that man needed a suitable helper, and God determines that the suitable helper, the perfect complement mm-hmm. for the man, was, is, and shall forever be a woman, that is abundantly clear. I don't find, once again, we're back to the authority of Scripture, I don't find anywhere in the entire Word of God any example whatsoever of God pointing to two members of the same sex being equal in marriage, if you will, to a man and a woman.
Yes, I do exactly, and I think the mudding of the water that the culture is able to do doesn't hear that. I think there's a time when culture can't hear things. You know, I think about the German culture with the Jewish issue. They couldn't hear that what they were doing was evil. It was just, they were just taking care of some business.
Mm.
And
mm.
so I think there is a lowering of the sanctity of life, and then you don't take some things serious. So I think our culture is kind of there. We're very practical.
Let's take this a little bit further. Ultimately, in talking about homosexuality, too often today, and it really personally concerns me, that the topic is often reduced to an issue. And this really, really is about people.
Mm-hmm.
People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. And what that tells me is that I am under command, calling, and obligation, really, to represent Christ as best that I can. And if I truly care about people, I must reach to them and share the truth. Now, you and I both know God has given us free will choice. We can present the truth, but at the end of the day, it's still up to each and every individual whether or not they want to receive that truth and live by it. Mm-hmm. Agree?
Mm-hmm. Agree.
So we agree it's all about people. And there again is my concern. I think today on this subject matter, we have too many people falling through the cracks because we're overly concerned at times that we don't want to possibly offend.
Yes, it's just, it is almost a constant pressure. That occurs, quite frankly, in the race issue a lot, too. There's a lot of sensitivity there because of racial issues we've had. And then the sensitivity about sexual issues. And, you know, in church, whether it's shacking up or teen sexuality and pregnancy or pornography or all the stuff that swirls around sexual issues. But I do think what you're saying about it's people, it's not an issue. That's a thing. An issue is a thing. A person is an image of God bearer. And when you're messed with a person, you're... And when you're not directing them in the right direction, you're messing with God and what the intent he had through that man or woman. And so, yeah, I think it's a huge issue. And how to come at it is maybe the question. But, yeah, I think that's a very, very huge issue that is just an issue. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I think, too, where we are is that still, unfortunately, many Christian men and women are just not well-versed or educated on this subject matter. And as a result, many, I think, take the back seat to, again, not possibly wanting to begin a dialogue with someone because they don't want to offend, nor do they want to confront. But let's consider confrontation. Now, first and foremost, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to confront. I find throughout Scripture, with Jesus as our perfect role model, he confronted people all the time. But every time that he did, he always did with an equal balance of both truth and grace. I'm concerned today on this subject matter that far too many are erring way over on the grace side and dismissing truth.
It's funny you brought that up because I just preached on Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged, and by the same measure you judge will be held against you. And so that religion tends to create judgmental people at times. And so that's speaking against the practice of homosexuality would be considered you're just judgmental. And so that would be but then you've got the flip side going on with the, and I think you're exactly right there too, the grace. I think if we let go of the tension, we can't let go of the tension. We must tell them the truth and we must love them at the same time. That's a little, it's a little difficult. It reminds me of that, love the sinner and hate the sin. And I remember a therapist friend of mine back in Texas, and he was a homosexual man, and he was, we would eat together sometimes in the cafeteria, and I remember talking about hate the sin, love the sinner. He hated that. He didn't want to hear that, and that really, quite frankly, ticked him off. And so just didn't work. But I do think the practice of loving people in spite of builds a bridge. I think maybe our Christianity has gotten to the place where we don't want to take any hits. We just want everybody to kind of like us, and we're in the defensive posture. So we're unwilling to say, hey, I don't think it's sinful for you to run around on your wife, and we don't want to confront, or it's sinful for you to be an all-out drunk and not take care of your home, or whatever the sin is. And having to have those many of those conversations, adultery is one that's most sensitive that I've had to have sit with a wife or a husband who's doing that and just say, what you're doing is sinful and you need to repent. But I also know those people have loved me after that. That's tough. But I find myself very humbled in the moment. And if I'm not, if I'm speaking from some sort of higher ground position as opposed to the level ground of the cross, if I'm not humbled, then it can go awry.
Let's talk just for a moment about the concern about coming over as too judgmental. And I understand, I greatly appreciate that concern. But I wonder, there are those today that still view homosexuality, the practice thereof, as the absolute worst of all sins. Now, first and foremost, that contradicts Scripture. But let me come at this from a different angle. We are sexual beings. That's how God made us. Our sexuality from God is really a wonderful gift, providing sexual expression stays within His well-defined holy boundary lines. And I really believe today we cannot dismiss, we should not be dismissing the very long list of heterosexual sexual addictions and sins, such as sex before marriage, habitual adultery, addiction to pornography. But what I'm finding today, when it's on the heterosexual side, there are still those in the world and even in the church that are saying, well, that's just more normal. Well, you know what? I will go with you to a degree, because it's on the heterosexual side, it's a bit normal, but it is not more acceptable. Do we hesitate to approach someone, a brother and sister in Christ, heading down that particular pathway? Don't we go to them and say, you know what? I'm really concerned about you.
And I would say that's all of us. I think you're right. Maybe we're a little more defensive about homosexuality now because of our culture, but the need to keep things level in regard to sin, and especially, acceptable behaviors. It's okay that I run around on my wife, just a fair example, and it's not as bad as what he's doing. Look at what he's doing. He's doing homosexual stuff. And, yeah, that has to go.
Yes.
And I do think, I'm not sure, it might have been, I think I might have heard Tim Keller talk about every sin is a little seed. Like hate is a small seed of murder. It's not, you're not murdering yet, but there's the seed, and it's like an acorn. And so the sexual seed, whatever direction it had, the sin is early, it's early in there, and that's why Jesus is so thoroughly intense in the Sermon on the Mount, because he points right to those heart issues, and he said, that's where it starts. Stop it there, and you won't end up there. So I do think, all sexual sins arise from lust and the stuff that we all struggle with.
Absolutely. We all struggle with a sinful nature. We are all broken. It just happens to be that our brokenness manifests differently from person to person. And the brokenness for some men and women manifests in the temptation of same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
But thank God, through his grace and his mercy, he has made a way out through his son, Jesus Christ, that today freedom from homosexuality is very real for an abundance of men and women around the world. God is still in control. He is still transforming, renewing, and setting men and women back on the right course in life. Pastor Tim, great to have you. Always a pleasure to see you. We have run out of time. I have an idea.
Yeah.
How about you come back again next week and we'll continue this conversation, because we didn't get to cover everything that I wanted to address. Is that okay with you?
That's wonderful. Love to do it, Philip.
Excellent. For all listening in this morning, thanks so much once again for joining us. Hope you'll tune in next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.